Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here as always.
What's up, people?
With Mr. A, how are you?
I'm doing great, gentlemen.
Nice to be back.
Oh yeah.
Feels good holding this mic in our hands.
Yeah.
Back in the 2013.
Nice. Well, I think we've got a great review. It's nice and timely. Today we're going to talk about Zero Dark Thirty. So, Sam, you want to give us the rundown?
Yeah, Zero Dark Thirty is a movie which, if you haven't heard about it, I don't know where you're living, like under a rock or something?
Right.
Like in a rock? I don't know. But it's basically about the events that led up to the assassination of Osama bin Laden, and it's told through the perspective of, I guess, the main woman who kind of led the chase for the paperboy that kind of led them to his compound. Her name is Maya. So it's about her and her transformation and all the stuff that, you know, went on in order to gather the intelligence and, yeah.
Right.
You know, that led us. And then the end of the movie does show, like, a reenactment of
the
operation.
It goes from the procedural to, like, Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
For the last
Literally, one of them.
And as far as names go and directors.
Okay, so it's directed by Kathryn Bigelow.
Right.
Who directed The Hurt Locker and won. I don't know if the movie won the Academy Award. I know she won for Best Director, right?
Hurt Locker won, like, pretty much swept the awards that year.
I think Hurt Locker did win the Best Picture
that
year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was in 2008. So I think this is her first movie in 4 years. She had a TV movie in 2011 called The Miraculous Year. I hadn't heard of it.
No, I haven't heard of it either.
Yeah, it's just, it's about.
It was written by the same cats who wrote Hurt Locker 2, right?
Yeah. It's written by the same.
Mark
Bowell?
Bowell. That's what I.
Yeah, he did the screenplay. And Zero Dark Thirty stars Jessica Chastain. You see a lot of her because she's Maya. She's the main character. Joel Edgerton, who's in it, here and there. He provides a lot of.
Which character was he?
I think Joel Edgerton was the dude, Dan, like the kind of the hard ass from the very beginning.
Okay.
And then he goes to Virginia or whatever, and he gets like a desk job. He's like, this is too much, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is that Jason Clark?
No, that's Jason Clark. Joel Edgerton was one of the Marines at the very end. He was the guy in The Warrior, remember? I mean, not Warrior. Warrior.
Joel Edgerton was in the
Warrior. Was in Warrior, but he was one of the SEAL Team 6.
Oh.
Yeah, he's one of the SEAL captains. Okay.
Yeah.
My bad. I got
that guy looks exactly like the dude at the beginning who does all the torture scenes. I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you said that's Jason Clark. No, who did you say that was?
I didn't say it was Mr. A. Yeah, Jason Clark is the guy who says.
Oh, yeah, you're totally right. You're totally right. Yeah,
it looks like they could be brothers in Sam's defense.
And Jason Clark is Dan, and he's the one that plays kind of a hard ass at the beginning. And he also goes through a transformation. The movie is mostly centered around Jessica Chastain. She's probably on screen like 90% of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess. I know my expectations of the movie weren't that high when I saw the trailer. In fact, I was like, Jesus, like, this is coming out already.
Yeah, me either. I kind of, it reminded me of like a commercial for like Black Ops 2 or something.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing, and it goes along with the fact that I know Kathryn Bigelow hasn't made a movie in 4 years, but I feel like the amount of time it took from, hey, we killed Osama bin Laden to like, hey, here's a movie about us killing Osama bin Laden. It seemed like a quick and easy check, I thought.
Yeah, and like, I think she started the project relatively, like, she started researching and everything relatively soon after, right?
Yeah, from what I understand is that the movie kind of took a different narrative arc after the whole Osama bin Laden assassination.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to originally do the movie as kind of a perspective of the failure of the Bush intelligence policies and the failure of enhanced interrogation techniques.
And then Obama had to fuck shit up.
Right. Yeah.
Fuck shit up for her movie.
Well, and then, you know, that just gave her a little bit of an out, I guess, to finish it. But, you know, kind of going along what you guys were saying about expectations.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. When I saw the trailer in the movie theater,
uh-huh,
I kind of had a mixed reaction.
Right.
Because I know Kathryn Bigelow. She's a very well-respected director. I respected The Hurt Locker a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jessica Chastain has had some very interesting roles over the past couple of years.
Right.
Especially
Coriolanus and
Tree of Life.
Tree of Life.
And so I didn't know what to think. And, you know, the reviews on it had been pretty good. And just decided to go see it for yourself, right? And make up your own mind.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. And surprisingly, like, you know, everyone likes Catherine. I feel like the critics really like Catherine Bigelow. Like, it's not like the critics in like Hooper, you know.
Oh yeah,
Les Mis, right? But they really like Catherine Bigelow, and I thought initially when I saw the first reviews coming out, I was like, this can't be like right. And then a week later, I look and it's legitimately like everyone is like, this is a good movie, and I was really surprised about that. Would you say you had little hope of it being good, Mr. A, or were you just kind of like meh when you saw the trailer?
More the latter,
yeah,
because it just. I don't know. I mean, it possibly, number one, it could have trivialized everything that was going on in the newspapers. I mean, that was a big deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you guys. Yeah, I mean, and like you guys mentioned, it might have been just like a commercialization of all of this. Some people who I had talked to who absolutely refused to see it, they think it's a glorification of, you know, a lot of the Bush intelligence policies, a vindication of the enhanced interrogation techniques.
Which is not really what you get from the movie.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that, yeah.
But, you know, you can't really have a good opinion about something unless you kind of see it for yourself, right?
Yeah.
And make your own judgment call. So, you know, I'm glad that we all went to go see it, and I was really amazed at it. I couldn't take my eyes away from the screen. It was shot so well.
Yeah, it's shot so well.
Yeah.
It's a 2-hour, 40-minute movie, and it feels like a 90-minute movie.
Yeah, it feels very, it's a very fast film.
Yeah, and I guess since Mr. A brought up the torture thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a timely topic. We should talk about it, because that was the one big thing when we told friends that we were going to see the movie, that a lot of our liberal friends were like, you know, you're going to go see a movie that kind of glorifies
torture. Like, are you serious,
torture,
man?
And
like,
they didn't go
that.
See it yet. They had read the reviews.
And they
we
just
read the reviews too. But when I went to go see the movie with you guys and I watched it, it's not so much a glorification, much it is maybe even a subtle rebuke towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Or just another tool in the arsenal. I don't really feel like there's the said glorification of the torture scenes really...
Yeah.
Was overstated at any point in time.
Yeah, like I've been telling people, like, it's not like, okay, the dude is getting waterboarded or whatever, and he's like, oh snap, we're gonna attack everyone else on Tuesday. Like, it's not really set up that way. And like, whenever there are torture scenes, I think they're done pretty, I don't want to say tastefully, but they're done in a manner that like makes it seem realistic, and like that they took it serious. Like, it was an important thing to do. It wasn't an easy decision for anybody
to make.
It
was a subjective storytelling at that time. You know, it was kind of like, it was just kind of like a raw, almost like you were there.
Here it is.
Yeah. Here it is. We're not. I don't think it was any bias in showing the way it was.
And I know a lot of reviews were annoyed with that. Like, they wanted the movie to take a stance, like, this is good or this is terrible. But instead, it's just kind of like, these are the facts, you know?
Right.
And you make up your own mind from that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know. Like, the way that it was used and the end that it achieves in the movie isn't really, like, anything that would be like, oh, yeah, torture totally worked, man.
Well, that makes sense, coming from what Mr. A told us about how the beginning, how she wanted to kind of show how, like, the failings of the Bush administration in that respect.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I thought it worked perfectly.
Yeah,
in that sense. What were your thoughts about the torture, Mr. A?
Well, kind of just going along with Sammy said, they're shot in a very, here it is, static manner.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, whatever the viewer brings to that particular set of scenes, I mean, you're either going to confirm what they're already thinking about the policy or what they think about the movie or they're not. I mean, I think, but one of the things those scenes do effectively is that I don't think it glorifies the whole process.
Yeah, not at all.
And obviously, I think it inspires a lot of conversation about whether those policies were in fact correct or the right thing to do.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And really, they're just kind of shot matter-of-factly. I mean, and they really don't last all that long. I mean, they're just little snippets of things.
And it's only...
The longest part was right at the beginning,
I think. The longest part is at the beginning, and I think that stretches maybe like 20 minutes. Not like continuous, but like...
Yeah,
like
back and forth.
Yeah, that back and forth stuff is only like 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah, and I think I've seen more gruesome torture scenes in lots of other movies. Like,
yeah.
More like realistic ones, you know, like this is realistic, but I'm not talking like horror torture scenes. I'm talking Syriana.
Yeah.
When George Clooney's getting his fingernails pulled out of his hands.
Yeah, I thought that was a lot worse.
Yeah, me too. This one, you know, and they have the waterboarding. And by this point, everyone knows he's going to get waterboarded, right? And then the guy is lucky enough to show his wang to Jessica Chastain. You know?
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that counts as torture or not in some countries. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the torture, I think, is a very small piece of the bigger story in this movie.
Yeah,
and
like
why
focusing,
it's so good.
Yeah, if one were to focus on just that and like not watch the movie or trash the movie just for that reason, like you weren't really watching the movie then.
Yeah,
you
they were stewing it over the last like 2 hours.
Yeah, like you just not. I don't know if you're not paying attention or if you were just like focusing on different things that you wanted the movie to give to you instead of just letting the movie show you the transformation of this character. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. As far as highlights go, let's talk about what you liked about the movie and then a favorite scene.
You want to go first? Or?
I'll let you go
first. Okay. Highlights.
Unless you want someone else to go first.
I mean, no, I can go first. That's okay. Cool. I liked a lot of stuff in the movie. The way it was shot, as Mr. A had mentioned, it's just really well done. Mm-hmm. Like, she uses shaky cam, but she uses it in a way Paul Greengrass doesn't seem to grasp, where it's like, hey, we don't need shaky cam when people are just talking to each other. Right. No, not necessary. But, you know, when there's some action or, whenever there are a couple of acts of terrorism which the characters have to face.
Right.
Those times, shaky cam, it's okay. It's supposed to be confusing, you know? So, she does a good job at balancing how the film is shot. The way the colors are used are pretty interesting, because it is a movie about war, and like, you know, if you play war video games or anything, everything is like the same color of brown,
right?
It's like brown and gray and black, and the movie does have a lot of consistency in the way color is used, because there are a lot of sections where you're outside in Afghanistan or Iraq and places like that, and everything is kind of bleak looking, but then you also get scenes whenever there's a section where Jessica Chastain, I think, goes to Virginia at one point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever she goes to Virginia, like, everything is very blue and, like, clean and, like, cold-looking. And it's, there are some shots through the Pentagon in which you get that hallway, which you also see in Burn After Reading, where it just looks very, it's a very good, she uses the architecture of the locations in a very interesting way to give you a point of perspective that you might not get if you would just film the characters. You know, like she uses her surroundings in a very effective way to tell the story of what's happening with respect to perspective and just the shots that she uses. So, I liked how it was shot. I thought the dialogue was really great. I like that they made Maya a total badass.
Well, that's a good point. I want to talk about that.
Yeah. and just things like that. I could keep going, but I'm not going to.
Cool, cool, cool.
Here you go, Mr. A.
Mr. A.
Well, there are probably two or three scenes that stick out in the back of my mind.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I thought that the documentarian style was done to great effect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Sam said, it wasn't overdone, which a lot of filmmakers do have a tendency to do at times. The first scene that sticks out in my mind, obviously, is the last 15 minutes concerning the raid of the compound where Osama bin Laden was. And to me, as I was watching all of this stuff, I mean, I don't know how they got permits to shoot this particular scene, where they shot it, because everything looked like a spot-on representation.
It's pretty cool.
I'm sure that had to be a mock-up.
Yeah.
It built somewhere.
It was, I think, somewhere in...
probably like Arizona or something.
Yeah, something like that.
But I just thought that was really well done, the amount of research that went into making these...
Yeah.
Or making that scene look as authentic as possible. Yeah. And you can tell that by the way you see the teams go through the compound and perform what they're required to do to execute the mission.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You can see that there was a lot of research done there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's something I really appreciate. And so kind of getting that fly on the wall, bird's eye view perspective of these guys doing their thing, I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah,
for sure.
The other thing I liked about the movie, you know, throughout the course of the movie, she uses different narrative title cards to show you what stage of the film we're going into next.
Mm-hmm.
And on the tradecraft section, which is kind of where it gets into your nitty-gritty procedurals and how they put all the pieces of the puzzle together. I like the scene where Dan, in order to develop a contact, he decides to buy him $70,000 car.
Yeah, he bought him a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's just
Saudi kid.
Yeah, it just gets you kind of a perspective on how
that's
how,
realistic.
How that works. Yeah, I mean, stuff yeah. like that happens all the time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I think the last scene that sticks out in the back of my mind, because you just know what was going to happen, mm-hmm. and seeing it was just it built that anticipation.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah.
But the scene where the chief of station in Afghanistan, uh-huh. she's trying to develop that contact by talking to the mm-hmm. old tribal leader.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you see them coming. There's a wide shot. And then here's the car coming down. And then she tells the security guards to stand down.
Yeah. That is, yeah. You know what's going to. Yeah.
You know what's going to happen. Yeah. And then when it happens, it's like, well.
Yeah.
But those were some of the standout scenes in my mind.
Cool, cool, cool. Yeah. I think for me, the scene where she tells the guards to stand down, that was the one I was going to talk about too. Oh,
okay.
Because I thought that was. You know, it was heartbreaking, and also at the same time, like, why did you do that, right? And yeah. then the other part was actually, you know, you talked about the last 15 minutes with that thing. I'll go with the same thing when they load up into like the helicopters that haven't been really tested.
Yeah,
and they are on the way to the compound.
Yeah,
that's when I was excited because that's like you
how
know
how many of you have been in a helo crash and everybody
yeah,
raises their
yeah,
hand.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And I thought that part was well done. The performances were really good. I thought for an ensemble cast like that, they got like a wide variety of people. You recognize people from Tinker Tailor. You yeah. recognize people from Warrior.
The Sopranos.
Yeah, he's who is he supposed to be?
James Gandolfini played Leon Panetta.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was hilarious. And I thought at some points, and I guess I'll just start off with my low lights, and then we'll go back around, was that there's a you know, one of our friends told us that he absolutely hated Jessica Chastain in this movie.
Which is weird.
Well, I know, and Sam's a big fan of Jessica Chastain. And I don't think she was terrible at all, but maybe sometimes she, like, the delivery was a little weird to me sometimes.
Are you saying she's too pretty to be a CIA agent? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But I don't think that was a big deal. Lowlights are very nitpicky for me because I like this movie a lot. But if I had to pick one, I would say not enough torture.
Okay.
Yeah. I really didn't find anything I could pick out about it. It was a good movie. I liked it better than The Hurt Locker. And I don't know why that was. Maybe it's because they kept the procedural thing very interesting.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just...
Maybe it's because, you know, we're in the realm of law where it might just seem more interesting to us.
That is true. Yeah, I didn't find it... The low light I think we'll give it is that people are giving it such a bad rap for the torture scene.
Yeah.
The torture stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not really the movie's fault.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take it whatever which way. I don't think there's many... I really don't think you could watch that scene and be like, you know what? They are promoting...
Yeah, they're like totally the high-fiving each other about this. Yeah. No, it's nothing like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Did you find anything that bothered you a lot?
No. Similarly, I have nothing to really... say that I disliked about the movie. I know they did the same thing they did in Argo where they play the adzan every like other time they show an Arab country, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they just like to do that. So people get I don't know. That's a little weird. But that's fine. You know, that's not that big of a thing. My low light is actually not connected with the movie, but connected with Catherine Bigelow because
mm-hmm.
like we've been talking about where a lot of people have been saying the movie supports torture. That's in part due to the fact that Catherine Bigelow did a couple of interviews in which she was basically like, yeah, I wanted to make it seem like it was like it was effective, you know?
Right.
And I think it was one of those things where she didn't get misquoted. She didn't represent what she was attempting to display from the movie.
Right.
Correctly, like, because mm-hmm. the movie doesn't actually have anything where it's like, yay, go torture.
Yeah.
But I think the way she made it seem in interviews and a couple of other promotional things mm-hmm. is that the torture stuff was important and that it was good to do it. And
right.
So I think she herself kind of dropped
is
the ball on that one.
Yeah.
So that would be my nitpicky thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mr. A.
You know, I do really like this movie a lot, and it's hard to find places where you can say, well, something could have been done better here mm-hmm. or they could have done something else. But, and it's a real nit, and I agree with you guys, the movie felt like it was going fast.
Mm-hmm.
But super fast. But there are some places, as strange as it sounds, there, even though it didn't feel like a 2.5 hour movie, there were parts of the film, even though what you were seeing on screen was very interesting, it felt like it dragged just a little bit.
Okay.
And so maybe they could have maybe tightened up some of those sequences a little bit more. The one that kind of stands out in my mind right now is when the teams are in, I think they're in Lahore.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember the name of the other city, but they're trying to track down the courier.
Oh,
and
they're, when they're driving around.
They're driving around.
That was too long.
That was a little long, yeah.
Because they went out like 4 times and like couldn't find them. They showed them doing that 4 times.
Yeah, they
could
have just cut one of those
because that sequence went on for about 15 or 20 minutes.
That was a long bit. Yeah.
And maybe that's done by design, you know, maybe to kind of give the audience a sense of what those guys are going through.
I thought because of the part of the movie that it's in, I kind of thought like that was kind of the redundant part on purpose to give the viewer a time to rest.
Oh, okay. Because
there's so much intensity before, and there's a super amount of intensity afterward. It was like
there's one scene that I would also add to it, and it's the Marriott scene.
Oh yeah,
where they're in the restaurant.
When they're in the bomb, when the bomb happens.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I thought of was that if we're going to keep it procedural and keep it kind of like true to the story. Maybe I was just being like lame. It was like, well, were they even really at that hotel?
Yeah,
when
some
it
of
happened?
That stuff has to be sensationalized.
Don't you think so? Because I don't think that they would be. And now we're going to put them in the.
Yeah, that's too.
How
too many
coincidental would that be if they were actually having dinner? I mean, you could have. They could have just done something where they shown, like they were working in their office and they saw on the TV, like,
yeah.
Fuck, we messed up again.
Yeah,
you know, because.
That did seem a little contrived.
I thought there'd be more. Things like that where it's just contrived like that, but that was just a really nitpicky thing too, because I knew, you know, it's going to blow up, and I was still like jumped out of my seat when it happened, and it was shot very well, but there was stuff like that at end of Argo, like, that I was complaining about, where they said where, you know, they got held up right before they could get on the plane.
Oh yeah, that stuff where like it was like, oh snap,
yeah,
what if he doesn't take these drawings that I made, you know?
Right, exactly. Or like Last King of Scotland, when like half the African army is on their on the tail of the plane when they're flying off.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, stuff like
they always
that.
Always have to do something like that,
I guess so. But I just thought like, oh, you guys are really at the hotel.
Well, see,
when because
otherwise
blow up.
It would, people would be like, it's too much like a documentary. It's trying to be like a faux documentary.
But it was such a good faux documentary.
Yeah,
and what it was doing that I felt like, you know, they could have done something else. They could have filmed the hotel bomb scene like, and they could just follow like tourists in and made it happen.
Yeah,
I don't think you needed to have Jessica Chastain
That's
and
true.
Her friend there.
Yeah, I think that was also trying to set up the fact that like Jessica Chastain has no friends
and it's hitting at home. Yeah, character development and whatnot.
Yeah.
Let's
and that's probably my other nit, and not necessarily toward Jessica Chastain, but I just didn't care for the actress that played the
Her
colleague.
Oh yeah, I was hoping she would blow up.
Yeah,
right.
She just seemed. I mean, I just didn't like. I mean, and maybe she was written. Her character is written that way.
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't like her personality.
There was a very subtle cat fight going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was kind of, and everyone loved Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could tell what you're saying, and you know when she's like, "Hey, come on down."
Yeah.
Boom. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
that
well,
was,
it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But,
that was yeah.
And not to say I'm sure the real thing was actually a very sad story, and that lady was actually a mother of like 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. And that's always sad. But characters, that was the only character you didn't like.
Yeah, probably the only one that really just kind of stands out in my mind is somebody that I really didn't care for.
I feel like my favorite, like the thing about it is some of my favorite actors did not get enough screen time for me.
Yeah.
And the fact that you remember when kind of like the boss of that kind of subsection kind of comes in and speaks to the whole
he's
crew,
like,
is like,
guys,
hey, we're failing. And
Mark,
he does that whole,
played by Mark Strong, the guy that ripped out George Clooney's fingernails and
is that was
Siriana.
That who it was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was that guy's in Tinker Tailor, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a British actor,
yeah, he's
Mark Strong.
Yeah, Mark Strong comes in and just kicks ass in that scene, right? And then he kind of has like a minimal thing in the movie. I would just like to see a little bit more Mark Strong being interesting.
He brought in some of that Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah. He's like channeling his inner Alec Baldwin,
yeah.
Right? And then you know, I think it would have been kind of interesting to see them go, like, him keep on, you know, bonking heads with Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Like, when she went back to Virginia, mm-hmm. instead of, like, her writing on the numbers, and he's like, oh, that crazy girl.
Damn it. Yeah, writing numbers and lipstick on my
Which
window
pane. Which I think
that
was kind of overdone, too.
They did it a few too many
that
times.
Montage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do like, I mean, you do get to see Mark Strong kick a little bit of ass when he goes over to the National Security Council.
Yes.
And he's over in the White House and say, hey, you guys need to get your shit together.
Yeah. That was really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong performance, small role.
From Mark Strong.
Pro tip, his best friend is James Bond right now.
Oh, really?
He's really good friends with Daniel Craig, and Daniel Craig is the godfather to one of his kids.
I think. Okay.
Okay.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah, it is cute. Yeah.
Great
actor.
Great
I think all this stuff is nitpicky, though, right? Like, overall, I think I could say that we all enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I would say that, well, how about, Mr. A, how about you give it the 1 out of 10 and why?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to give this an 8.
Okay.
Solid
nice. 8. I just think it's a really well shot film. The story, you know, obviously it's very timely, mm-hmm. and I think that it provides an interesting look about how the intelligence community, through the eyes of this one analyst, how they dealt with all of this.
Right.
This very difficult situation that was thrown at him. You know, I think it's another feather in the cap for Catherine Bigelow. I think
for
this
sure.
is a great film. I think, you know, and that's the other thing that kind of is just a side, mm-hmm. but I find it hard that she didn't get a director's nomination for this.
Yeah, that's because the Oscars suck.
Yeah, it's all political.
Yeah, Ben Affleck didn't get the director's nom either, right?
No.
I think both of the movies earned for Best Picture, but I'm pretty sure Lincoln or one of those other things that they like a lot is going
to
win.
Well, Spielberg's Lincoln is supposed to be pretty solid.
I know,
for
it's supposed to be
thing.
Epic. I understand that, but still.
Who got in instead of Bigelow and Affleck, though?
The dude from the Beasts of that movie.
Beasts of Southern Wild is
Beasts
a good movie.
Beasts of Southern Wild,
yeah.
That dude. I think that guy did.
That guy is very good.
And then I think the guy.
Did Tom Hooper get a nomination?
No, Hooper did not.
No, Tom Hooper did not for Lennon.
So there's some justice. Yeah. That those two didn't get in. Tom Hooper is still out, too. Because if he was in and they didn't, it'd be
that
like.
That would be stupid.
Yeah. Laughable. But yeah, she didn't get a nod, which is sad.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I give it a solid 8.
Okay. Would you say to go see it as it's one of those things I liked on the big screen? Did you like it on the big screen, or do you think?
Yeah, I think that adds to just kind of the whole globetrotting plot that you're dealing with, and it just really opens up the experience for you.
For sure, for sure. What say you?
Okay, so you guys are gonna tease me now.
Oh, why? Do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
You want me to go first?
Okay, you can go first.
I'm gonna give it an 8.
Okay,
I gave Leon an 8.5, and I like Leon way better than
okay.
I like. But I did like this better than The Hurt Locker. Mr. A, what did you think? Did you still like The Hurt Locker better than this one?
Well, you know, it's been a while since I've seen The Hurt Locker, and I caught a few snippets of it on TV here a couple of days ago.
Right.
You know, and Hurt Locker's, I mean, no doubt, that's a powerful film
it's
to
intense.
Watch.
Yeah.
But I think between the two, this one I like a little better. Maybe it's because it's very hard to identify with Jeremy Renner.
Oh, yeah.
Renner's character
same,
in Hurt Locker.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
Because, I mean, Jeremy Renner's playing a guy that's addicted to an adrenaline rush, and he's kind of a douche.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is.
Whereas, you know, you're seeing something kind of unconventional. I mean, you know, you're seeing this CIA analyst who's devoted all of her life to catching Osama bin Laden, and, mm-hmm. you know, just you kind of see how she evolves through that. Whereas Jeremy Renner is kind of like a one-note.
Oh yeah.
One note performance.
End, yeah, it's Jeremy Renner's defiance that like kind of ruins his character. He's just like, no, I'm gonna still be kind of a crazy.
Yeah, and like I think the thing was with the end of that movie when they have like the really heavy metal music and he walks back into the war zone. I'm like, that's what really
that's
ruined
kind of,
the movie.
Yeah, that
for
kind
me.
Of that was kind of cheesy for me. I was like, okay, this is like you had something really good and then you kind of ended it with like the ending of
it
like
ended
a
pretty bad
Rambo though. Movie or some shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not to disparage
he always has
Rambo.
To go back to the war zone.
Not to disparage Rambo though.
God, Rambo. Such I love the Rambo series. I really
not
do.
Disparage Rambo. Jump through the screen
you.
And kill you.
He will. He will. It's happening right now. No.
Yeah. I would say that this was, I liked it better. Maybe it's the proceduralist type of thing going on. And it wasn't, Hurt Locker was, here we go with a bomb. Here's another bomb. Here's a really big bomb.
here's a sniper covering you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That
here's,
type of thing.
Here's another bomb. Yeah.
But
Ray Fiennes shows up.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Ray Fiennes should be in every movie just for like a minute or two. Mm-hmm. He looks so frightening.
I really.
Just what a waste, though. I mean.
Yeah, just like. I don't understand why like he didn't get more time. I don't understand.
In Hurt Locker?
In Hurt Locker.
Same with Guy Pierce. Right,
yeah.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot like Guy Pierce was in
there. He's only
in
like for like 7 minutes
the
or
first,
4 minutes.
The first death of the fucking movie.
And he's in the suit the entire time.
Yeah, you get to see it.
Restraint
great.
Is what Catherine Bigelow
very,
is
He's a very
at.
Funny atheist, yeah. Guy Pierce. Yeah. I would have to give this... I gave it an 8.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
And I think as far as how it could have been botched in so many ways and the typical trappings of a movie done
an
this quickly
movie, yeah, that's
to such current events could have been, they could have fallen into them so easily.
Yeah.
And I think it was very prudent of Catherine and I'm sure the producers and Mark Boll for, you know, writing something that was, I would say, pretty faithful from what I've read.
Yeah, and even if not faithful, just like brave.
Yeah, very, and it was an entertaining piece that I really enjoyed watching. I really liked the raid scene from beginning to end.
Yeah, that was incredible.
And I think that's a huge payoff, especially after, you know, watching basically how they start from, you know, September 11th all the way to now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does a good job with the cars that Aaron, Mr. A said about, you know, talking about jumping from timeline
to timeline and while keeping it very easy to follow.
Yeah. So I thought it was a solid movie. I would go see it in the theaters, hopefully the sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let's Sammy.
Okay,
let's hear it.
Okay, so like when we went to go watch this movie, we went with a couple of our friends and after the movie was over, we all kind of like gathered around and like sit around for a while. And one of my friends from my section and I had the same exact kind of response, which was that Zero Dark Thirty was probably like the most visceral thing either of us had ever seen. And I don't know, for that reason and just for the way that it handled the storytelling, I have a really hard time not giving it like a 9.5 or a 10 or something. Because I don't know, like I understand how the movie's shot and all of that stuff is technically very impressive. But the fact that you get a story told that is, it's about the assassination of Osama bin Laden, but it's also kind of like a reflection of what happened to America as in like a greater sense through Maya's character. Because at the beginning, when she's first on screen, I think, is the first time she's on screen when she goes inside? Like, she's already inside, or is she outside?
She goes into one of those interrogation sheds.
Yeah. They warn her, and then they bring her in, right?
Yeah, so they kind of warn her, and they bring her in, and she's not like, disgusted or horrified. Mm-hmm. I mean, she probably is, but she's, like, she just looks like...
It's contained.
It's contained. And, like, she goes from someone who's like that to basically, like, a, like, guided missile trying to kill just this one person.
Right.
And once the movie ends, like, it, I don't know, for me, it was very interesting because, like, it could have been one of those things where it's like, all right, I killed this bitch. Awesome.
Right.
But instead, it was kind of like, all right, I killed this bitch. I have nothing to live for now. Like, I have no purpose anymore because everything was about killing this one person. And now, like, I'm just going to go into this plane and sit down.
Like, yeah.
Game over. That's it. You know? And I think that was very interesting, especially compared with the Hurt Locker. Because in the Hurt Locker, the dude was just like, no, I'm going to go be a badass still. I'm going to be because I'm addicted to this thing where I have to, you know, disarm these bombs in these dangerous situations. And like for him, it was more like a duty, not even to the country. It was more like a duty to just that thrill. Whereas in Zero Dark Thirty, Jessica Chastain's character has more of a duty to the country. And then once that she accomplishes that objective, like there's nothing left for her.
I mean, it was also her personal obsession.
Yeah. And so like, unlike the character you meet at the beginning, who is the torturer, the, I always mix up his name. That's Dan, right?
Yeah.
The dude at the beginning. Yeah. The dude at the beginning, like about halfway through the movie, he's like, yeah, I have to get out of this. 'Cause this is like too much stuff. And I,
Yeah.
I want to be like a normal person again.
I have a doctorate in something. I don't need to look at men's penises all day.
Exactly. I could go back to Virginia and have a life. Whereas Jessica Chastain's just like solely driven to do this one thing. And I thought it was a very elegant way of showing how the transformation is both like good in some senses because you're you know, taking someone who's horrible off the face of the planet, but it's bad in some senses in that like that entire process changes you to becoming something far worse than just like, I mean, cause like, yeah, even though it's supposed to not be documentary, like it invokes the ideas that the United States did, pursue, various targets and commit torture against them. But it's like, sometimes it's kind of like a goofy cliche, but like I guess if you want to catch the monster, you kind of want to become the monster. You have to do that, or like you have to come close to that. And it's not that we have to accept it and be like, yeah, you're okay. It's just sometimes you need those monsters protecting us. That's how I thought about it.
Okay, 9.5, huh?
Yeah.
And you said this is your favorite. This movie going experience.
Yeah, this is my the best movie going experience I had. But I don't know. It might have just been because I read about a lot of this stuff before. Like even whenever the first torture things were happening, because it was a focus in some of our classes at UT. And like yeah, it was just something that I was familiar with. So yeah, but definitely
interesting.
Like the most powerful thing I've seen in the theaters. To be fair though, I don't watch that many movies in the theaters. But yeah, I liked it like a lot.
Tall order.
It was awesome.
Tall order. I was going to say, I took the ending as a little bit of the I'm an empty shell of a person now.
Yeah.
But also that she's still in the kind of weird state of what just happened. Like the gravity of the situation is still surrounding
her. Yeah. And I think her adrenaline is a little delayed because she's the one that's like, go kill this dude.
And
she's
not
the
back.
One killing him. And when they're back, it's like, oh shit, they killed this dude.
Yeah. Did you take that? Did you take it as like what Sam did or like something?
Yeah. I mean, I looked at it as that way. I mean, it's kind of a catharsis for not only for that character, but in a wider scope of things, kind of a catharsis for, you know, our experience as a nation. I mean, we spent so much time and energy and,
money.
You know, people have died catching this to assassinate Osama bin Laden and all the things that have gone along with that. And you know, I think Jessica Chastain's story is ultimately the story about our country and you know, kind of the way we have been living in the past in the post 9/11 era.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And for her, I mean, she was driven to madness, and a lot of the things that we're doing, I mean, we've had to kind of circumvent some of the things that we consider ideal, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, how else could you finish the movie?
That's true.
I mean, it's not a triumphant movie.
She could just go back into the war, like in Hurt Locker.
It's not a positive note. What? I mean, they spent 11 years trying to kill one person.
And they're still fighting, right? Yeah. So it's like, and the SEALs weren't going back with her. It was only her.
Yeah. She was the only one.
Yeah. So the job wasn't over. And she's going to move on to her next assignment. But
yeah.
I thought it was a good ending. Mr. A brings up a good point about that's the only way you really could have ended it. So I'd say...
That's the only way you could have ended it while maintaining like...
some sense of like...
reason in how the movie was laid out. Yeah,
there could have been some heavy metal music at the end when she boards the plane.
Yeah, that's true. They should have put on some of that death clock.
Yeah, I think... 9.5 is really high. I think it's one of the highest ratings you've ever given a movie.
Yeah.
Well, didn't you give a 10 for Tree of Life?
Yeah, I did give Tree of Life a 10.
He did give
Maybe it's just a Jessica Chastain
connection.
Every time she's on, I'm like, oh, that's 10.
You got a crush, dude.
Yeah, man.
She's awesome. She's a total badass, too. I also like that, like, they did a good job at making her seem like a woman, but still, like, a total badass. I don't know how
women can be badasses, Sam.
No, I know, but, like, they did it in a way that didn't make her seem like a bitch. Because, like, a lot of the times, that's the kind of rep that a lot of women who are kind of, you know...
The one that gets blown up seemed like a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. But like Jessica Chastain didn't really seem like a bitch. She just seems like a total badass. Like, I'm the motherfucker who caught
9.5. Pretty solid. Yeah. I think in general we can just say it's a heavy recommendation from us here.
Yeah. Watch this movie, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. A,
now.
Thank you. Thank you for coming back again.
Always my pleasure, guys. Look forward to the next one.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. It's going to be good. Well, I hope you learned something about the Hurt Locker. And we appreciate you listening to us. And, or not the Hurt Locker, Zero Dark 30.
They learned something about the Hurt Locker, too.
Well, yeah, that too, I guess. I don't know. I hope you learned some stuff and enjoyed our review. You guys should probably go out and see it and make up your own mind about it though, because yeah, the themes in the movie are pretty intense and they're galvanizing to say the least. So
for sure,
absolutely,
so check it out. And thanks for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Bye.